Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. We are on the road today at the Plaza Bar and Lounge here, Midtown. And, a lot going on here. It is a hot Friday. It feels like we're about to play football in Auburn, doesn't it? This is usually the way it is. Mid-90s, getting ready for a ball game tomorrow night. But the Tigers coming in 1-0 after that big win in Baylor last week. And they host Ball State. The Cardinals come in 0-1 after being blanked by Purdue last week, 31-0. Welcome in, everybody, to the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here as we come to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Great to be here in Midtown at the Plaza. And a big shout-out, as always, to our pals at Sensegreen for setting this up. Sensegreen for air that is cool and clean. And you know what? You're not out of the woods yet as far as needing the AC.
Right.
And you're going to
not by any means.
And you're going to need the heat. You know, crazy to think about on a day like this.
Before long. Yeah, but it'll be a while. But, yeah, you're going to need both. Sensegreen making it possible for us to be here. They got their big Dollar Days deal going on right now where you can save up to $100 off HVAC repairs, $500 off insulation work, and up to $1,500 off a new HVAC system. So, thanks to Sensegreen for having us out here at the Plaza. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Don, how you doing?
Doing great, buddy. Another hot one, like you said. Typical home game.
Yeah, early. It is. I mean, you know, and people were talking about how hot it was at Baylor last week. It was 140 or something on the field.
Thank goodness it is a night game.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
It's still going to be hot as hell.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, the high tomorrow is supposed to be in the, you know, near the mid-90s.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be cool at kickoff. But, hey, a lot of things going on and a lot of different things, new things going on around the game. Some you know, amenities and some obvious additions, including the North End scoreboard.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk with Rhett Hobart, Deputy AD for External Affairs. He's going to be joining us at 4:30, talking about some of the amenities and game day features to be looking forward to.
Yeah, really looking forward to our exciting talk with Rhett. He knows a lot about what's going on in you know, the new game day operations, the new screen. I'm going to let Rhett talk in more detail about it, but it's an exciting weekend because of the Pat Dye reunion. They're very proud of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then also everything that people are going to see for the first time this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, you've got the Coach Dye reunion of former players and staff, and then it's also the 25th anniversary of the Eagle flight.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it yesterday. It seems like that's been going on longer, So that and more tomorrow should be an excited crowd. Looking forward to seeing this talented Auburn team. Auburn more talented than they've been in a few years. And, you know, we saw quite a few youngsters and newcomers play big parts last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can expect to see even more of them this week.
Yeah, no doubt. I look for them to try to get the passing game going. To get those young receivers some catches. Very impressed last week. I hadn't been on since then. Like we talked about, Bill and Dan, run the ball, stop the run. And we did a great job of both. We were just more physical and better at both points of attack, I honestly believe, O-line, D-line. You know, I've heard some people, we can't defend a pass. That'll take care of itself.
I think people
corrected.
People may have forgotten how much new was at linebacker and safety.
Yes.
Even bringing back
the middle. Yeah. We didn't get beat on the corners. It was the middle.
No, you're right.
And I made that point with Justin yesterday. For a game where you're talking about Auburn giving up 400 plus yards,
right.
I don't think Auburn came away thinking Kay and Lee or Jay Crawford or even Pleasant, when they go to him on the outside, are necessarily problems.
Right.
It's trying to shore up miscommunication, misalignment, missed tackles.
Yeah.
Coach, what were the first couple of practices like after a game where you thought your team missed too many tackles?
Well, we would work on tackling. But like Hugh Freeze said, it's changed so much. Now you tackle those donuts. A lot of people have gone to that rugby-style tackle that was started basically by Pete Carroll. We used to watch videos of that where you don't thud them up, you hit them and roll and all that. But if you don't tackle, it's hard to tackle when you have to tackle, if that makes
right.
any sense. So I would imagine they probably got some good old scout team running backs over there and took them to the ground as much as they could. But, yeah, the biggest thing is just wrap up and get the second and third man to the ball. Run to the ball, pursuit angles, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not really that concerned about the middle of the field right now. Now, if it happens, Ball State hurts us, that'll be a different story. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah, the second full week of college football, there's some interesting games.
Yeah,
a lot of them involving SEC teams tomorrow where we'll find out a little bit more. I mean, it's still early in the season. But, you know, teams like Vandy, Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder, I mean, obviously the big game of the week is the Oklahoma-Michigan game.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to have more questions answered tomorrow. Auburn's already done that in week one.
Yeah.
And now they're in the, you know, let's clean it up. Let's get as many folks experienced. Let's get ready for the next big test.
Right. And you're right. Vanderbilt going to Virginia Tech, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech played pretty well early last week. Had a chance against South Carolina.
The fact that they're at home and the fact that they played as well as they did.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough.
They had as many quality defensive possessions as they did against South Carolina. Yeah. I think it's going to be really tough for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Won't be. I mean, that one feels like we got a bunch of coin flip games.
You're not kidding.
This week. And
Kansas, Missouri, I don't have a clue.
I think Oklahoma, Michigan is one where, I mean, look, it's going to be – Coach, you've coached in Norman.
I was at Texas Tech.
Yeah, you've
and
done
we
that.
Beat them, and the only reason we had about a 12-hour rain delay, and there was nobody left, and we finished like 2 in the morning.
I've heard
we beat them.
I've heard that can be one of the tougher places at full throttle.
Now when the game started like at 3, it was packed, very a lot of tradition. It's a neat place.
Wonder what kind of stuff. So you're Michigan. You're taking a true freshman quarterback. Second start of his career is going to be at a place like Oklahoma. What sort of stuff do you sort of do to simplify or try to limit the impact that the noise can have on that guy's game?
Well, you're going to have to go, you know, with the clap, all that stuff if they're in shotgun. I've not seen Michigan this year. Get him an easy play, you know, hand the ball off.
High percentage?
Play action early. Short passes, maybe hit the tight end. Don't ask him to do too much till he gets comfortable. But, you know, it's going to be hard.
All right, Dime, we haven't had a chance to have you on since Auburn did play last week. So, love to get your thoughts. You mentioned a little bit about the Lions and they're on defense. But, I mean, what did you like saw?
I like that we got a quarterback that can run. And we heard that and we knew that. But, I mean, he hadn't done it against – I think Baylor's a decent team. I think they're going to win some games.
We'll start finding out tomorrow. They got SMU tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. They do go to SMU. Man. But anyway, I was very impressed with our defensive front. I was impressed with our running game and I thought our offensive line's probably the best they've had in 3 or 4 years.
It's the best game.
Yes.
Hugh Freeze said it was the best game they played as long as he's been at Auburn, considering, you know, all things considered in the game. Against the Baylor game was maybe the best performance by that unit under Hugh Freeze.
And I thought our kids handled the first away game. I thought they handled. There was a little bit of adversity, but not a lot. But they handled it. I thought there was good sideline discipline. I didn't see a lot of crazy stuff like you can see in the first game with a young team away from home.
How important is it? You were talking about the safeties, and we raised this point earlier in the week. Among the guys Auburn lost last year were not only Bug Thompson, who was probably the safety who was most tasked with getting everybody in the right spot.
Getting lined up.
You also replaced most of the linebackers.
Linebackers who are making calls. Absolutely.
Right.
Asante, Mousy, Austin Keys.
Those are your quarterbacks. I mean, it sounds simple, but you got to give a right, left, strong, weak call. I mean, and that's not easy with all the formations and all that kind of stuff. And then when something switches – you've got to be able to either hand check it or get it relayed. And I, you know, first game on the road, those kids probably had a little deer in the headlight, maybe a little bit late in getting some checks, some calls, and we missed too many tackles. But yeah, you lose. That's like losing your quarterback.
Yeah. So I mean, Auburn right now, you know, the most experienced linebacker they have is Robert Woodyard, who hasn't played much
right.
in his career, and the rest of the guys right. are first or second year players.
Right. But again, that front, I think, is going to be special by the end of the year on both sides of the ball. And when you have that, that's a plus. We'll get that corrected. Coach is too good a coach, Coach Durkin. He's not going to – that. I wouldn't want to have been in his meeting Sunday morning.
Crime Dog can make a point,
oh, yeah,
too.
He can get after him, too.
And he seemed like somebody who would have something to say about the way, you know. Well,
they coach him, and they'll get it corrected, and the kids will respond. And thank goodness we're at home. We got two games to get little things. It sounds little, but those are important.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you if you can't make it out here to the Plaza Bar and Lounge Midtown. Then give us a call. We'd love your thoughts on, you know, if you want to give us a score pick for the game. But also I'd love to hear, you know, what you'd like to see, who you'd like to see coming up in the ball game tomorrow evening. I mean, it should be a game that gives you the opportunity to play a lot of players, play some guys that haven't gotten a lot of snaps. And, I mean, there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of players that fans are really excited about that we haven't had a chance to see yet.
You know, like we mentioned earlier, the receivers – we got to get them more involved.
People want to see. I mean, Jackson had a really good game.
Right.
But I think folks really are chomping at the bit. They want to see Deuce Knight.
Right. And I don't know what their snap count. I know as a coach I've never done this, but we should have no problem if we play right and we don't do something stupid or get a million turnovers. But I want to see the backup quarterback. I'd like to see some – the young – guys that didn't get a lot of reps on the D-line.
I want to see as many of the young guys that we didn't get a chance to see.
One of our listeners made an emphatic point, wanted me to bring it up. We talk about getting some of the starters out of the game. I think he may have misinterpreted. Like, it's not so much about those players needing rest. I think it's about avoiding the possibility that if they're out there longer than they need to be out there and they get injured, you feel like it's a mistake or a miscalculation. Right. Having said that, is there some value if you turn this into a multiple possession game early? Is there some value of Deuce playing with the other starters, with the other first teamers, on the off chance that he may need to play with the first teamers at some point during the, you know, if something were to happen to Jackson Arnold? I see the value,
but then on the other hand, you would really hate to have your first team line or something in the game and one of those guys get banged up when you pulled your first set of skill players.
I'm like you, Bill. I'd be scared to death.
I mean, he's gotten a chance to practice some. I mean, maybe, but I wouldn't push it very long. I'd go maybe a series.
I just wanted to bring the point up. I'm of the opinion that you get the guys out of the game as early as possible.
I still think there are a lot of people that think, when's Deuce going to take over as your starter?
And
I think right now the only way that happens is if Jackson's hurt.
Oh, no, no. And to be clear, the point that was made to me was so that Deuce can be ready if something happens to Jackson, not so Deuce can succeed Jackson Arnold this year, because Jackson clearly gives Auburn the best chance to win at the moment. And that doesn't seem to change. That doesn't seem to be on the verge of changing anytime soon. No, I'm with you guys. I think it's NFL preseason. Get the starters out.
Yep.
Get them have them play as little as possible these next 2 weeks so they can be fully healthy and available for Oklahoma with minimal wear and tear.
Mm-hmm. I'm still of the opinion that if something were to happen and Jackson couldn't go for an extended period of time, Ashton Daniels is probably going to be the guy who would then start. I think this is just – But again, I think Hugh Freeze is looking at it going, hey, Ashton Daniels is really talented. He's got another year if he redshirts. You know, maybe we could get by with Jackson being the guy and playing Deuce, getting Deuce ready to be, you know, competing for the starting job, and then have at least two of the three back next year.
Yeah. And I,
you just don't want your starters out. I guess the thinking is that, to me, more than what to do at quarterback,
right,
my thinking has been get the starters out at as many positions as possible as early as you can.
Yeah.
Like that was sort of where I was on, and that's not because they need rest. It's not because they're fatigued. It's because in this sport,
things can happen. Oh, absolutely.
And it's, I mean, a long season, guys.
Man, you go back and, you know, I mean, I go way back, but mm-hmm. I mean, seems like every year there is a team that loses one of its better players in a game that's already decided.
Yep.
You know, at a game where a team's up three or four scores and they still have their starters in there, somebody gets hurt. And it's, you know, it can be a fluke, but I mean, that's the thing. You don't want to take a chance, especially when you feel like, hey, you got a chance to have a special season if everybody stays healthy.
If I remember, I'm going to get the year wrong potentially, Coach, but mm-hmm. I think it might have been 04 because I know he didn't play in the Iron Bowl that year. I believe Mike Shula catches a lot of heat because Brody Croyle is in the second half of a one-sided game against a mid-major.
Mm.
I think Alabama may have left Brody in up multiple scores in the third quarter or the fourth quarter against a smaller conference opponent. He gets a season-ending injury.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's just a nightmare scenario, and that's something I think, yeah, that would be the thinking. I think avoiding that would be the thing. And look, DeMari Alston's not going to play. If there were players that were borderline and you decided to hold out completely
mm-hmm.
this week, I think it would be understandable. But I get wanting to be as conservative as possible with the exposure of your best players to hits this week and to an extent next week.
Yeah, for sure. You hope everything goes great. We get a big lead, get them out, get ready for next week, same thing next week. And then we go to real battles and wars. But, you know, as a coach, you're scared to death, you know, because so many bad things could happen. I don't think they're going to happen. But that's just human nature. And, you know, they'll play hard, but the talent level is just so different. And they got devastated by the portal. Their whole team, and they got a new coach. And
harder than ever before
to keep
kind of teams together. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're from Butler. Another Indiana, a little small school.
334-321-1390. Again, love for you to join in as we're just underway, coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us.
The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. We're coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge where, man, they just sent out a little sampler.
How about it?
Delicious. You got the Warburger. Is that
Warburgers? Little Warburger action, some soul rolls and some tots. And everything that they've ever let us try has been sensational. Big shout-out to our friends at Sensegreen for helping hook this up. We are at we're here in Midtown at the Plaza because of our friends at Sensegreen. For air that is cool and clean, Sensegreen. And we're always happy to take the show on location. We're going to be at Franklin on Monday.
We're going to make it three straight days on the road.
Talking with the boss yesterday. We're going to be at Franklin on Monday. So always happy to take the show on the road. We were at Sky Bar yesterday, sort of kicking off the weekend, and now courtesy of our pals at Sensegreen, we are here at the Plaza.
Yeah. Now, did you catch any of the high school game last night?
Caught a little bit of Jacob's call on the radio. I mean, just a game that did not seem like it was ever comfortable for either of those teams.
Well, it was a game that, I mean, Auburn dominated the first half.
Yeah.
But left points
all over the field.
Know, yeah, they had a couple of field goals blocked. They had a pick six called back. I mean, they had all kinds of points that you felt they could have scored, and that's something that makes you nervous. I mean, they went into halftime only up 10-0. And then Opelika came back, and Opelika dominated the second half.
I mean,
they really played well without their starting quarterback, and came back and were able to tie it, and then Auburn, with the help of a fake punt from around midfield, set up the go-ahead score to go up 17-10. Opelika gets the ball. I don't know if you saw there toward the end. I mean, Opelika got it and was just gashing Auburn. Yep. They found a weakness on the Auburn left side of the defensive front and just kept going at him. Got all the way down to around the 10-yard line. And then a snap that the young quarterback just, I don't know if he was distracted, whatever, goes through his hands. Auburn able to fall on it and run the clock out.
Yeah.
And another classic between these two schools.
The 100th meeting.
Sometimes a special teams miscue can be the difference, Coach. You
yes,
know
sir.
That. I mean, Tommy Tuberville talked about the punt being the most important play in so many football games because when it goes wrong in any way, a shank,
a snap,
a bad snap, a block, a fake that's successful, a big return.
Yep.
When anything out of the ordinary happens, a penalty. Yep. When anything out of the ordinary happens on a punt, it can be one of the biggest plays of the game.
Yep.
And I thought Auburn did a pretty good job, especially, I mean, you had the two pre-snap penalties, another opening night sort of snafu.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I thought Auburn, you know, some of the things that was really that really concerned you last year about Auburn special teams, I thought they did a pretty good job ironing that stuff out.
Overall, it was a pretty clean first game.
Yes. Very impressed.
What was frustrating, and I have to imagine for Coach Lunsford, extremely frustrating, that you get that penalty again. Right, the thought that it's I think two different times you have too many men in the backfield on a punt formation. That's something whoever was at fault the second time, to fool me once. Once it happens again, you do not want to be that guy, Coach, that commits that penalty the second time. And I imagine that's going to be something
that was addressed.
I imagine that's something they've drilled into their players.
And it's hard with all the different shifts and formations. I tell you what we used to do, Terry and I, you know, so many times in practice, the ball's always on the line. You know what I'm saying? On the marker, right on the line. So we would move it off the line, so we tried not to get off sides. It's easy to get lined up when you're right on the line. So sometimes those punts are, you know, not on the line. Those guys have a hard time seeing who's in the backfield and who's on the line. So that's something, you know, I'm sure they worked on this week.
Yep.
Bill, that was something that drove you crazy last year, some of the special teams miscues.
It seemed like every time there was a, you know, on every special teams play, whether it be you're kicking, you're defending, Auburn was making a mistake.
Yeah, how about no kick, I mean, no flags on the big kick return.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many times
that's something you hold your breath.
Last year,
every single kick return felt like there was going to be a penalty.
Yeah, you're looking all over the field.
Yeah, so that was big. So that'll be one of the things that, you know, Auburn wants to – and here's where you're concerned a little bit, Don, when you've got a game like this where you're a 43-point favorite.
Yeah.
You worry about there being some lapses there in concentration.
Concentration, silly penalties, like you said, Bill. I coached harder this week than I probably did the week before Baylor. Because you don't want those things to happen. And it's just human nature, you know. Kids nowadays have so much, access to the media, the press, telling them, oh, we're going to beat them by 60. Well, you still got to go out and play, and that's why they keep score, even though I think we will dominate.
All right, we're going to get to our bottom of the hour break, because when we come back, we're going to talk with Auburn's Deputy AD for External Affairs. That is Rhett Hobart, about the game day experience, how that has been updated, upgraded, some of the things to look forward to tomorrow. So we'll talk with him when we come back. Stick with us as we continue here with the Friday Drive from the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here, Midtown, with the Midtown Block Party. Yeah, I heard them talking about it a while ago. They did it last year for home games. This year they're going to do it every Friday.
Yeah.
Got, got
cornhole.
Cornhole set up outside here in the street, so be careful.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah, I almost ran over the buoys. They're right. Markers.
We are efforting Rhett Hobart, Auburn's deputy athletic director for external affairs. He had said he'd be on with us. I mean, talk about some of the things. I mean, there's so many new things over at Jordan-Hare Stadium and around the game.
I've told Riley to fix this. I've said, Riley, get working on, because Riley knows Rhett pretty good. They work together. So I'm saying, Ray, we got to get working on. But we're trying to. We're trying to get Rhett connected. We want to talk to him about everything going on with what's going on to game day and the improvements to Jordan-Hare Stadium. They're very proud of him. Kirk's email was really informative earlier this week. A lot of stuff that you might be, you know, if you go to these games, you might be surprised by some of the new.
There are going to be some noticeable differences. Obviously. The first and the biggest is going to be the north end scoreboard.
Yeah.
I mean, that little bitty scoreboard had been there forever, and now it is gone. And that big one, as we said, it is the sixth largest in the country, second largest at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
How about
that? I mean, Auburn's got two of the six largest video boards in the country, but that's going to allow folks that didn't have the opportunity to see the south end zone scoreboard, which would include those of us, you know, in the press box. But
right.
Anybody sitting in the south end zone or around there, you know, didn't have that opportunity. Now you're going to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've added new lighting systems.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, it's
sound system.
Going to be something. Yeah. Yeah, I can tell from my house.
Yeah.
I'm across the interstate.
You know I can hear it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it lights up the sky.
Oh, that new.
I can see that. I mean, I thought something was on fire a couple months ago when they first turned it on.
Oh, yeah. No, you were certain alien invasion. You know, first place you went when you. Because at Wire and Shug.
Right.
We were at Big Mike's yesterday with Doug.
Yeah.
Right at that intersection. When it's nighttime and they got that, when they got that new video board going. You can see it from Shug Jordan.
I'm telling you.
It is Wire and Shug. You know, it's a ways away, and it's very, very impressive.
Yeah.
So, I'm really excited to see what it could look like. A couple of weeks of games at Jordan-Hare before that huge back-to-back test, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. Although, Coach, I made the point, and as someone who's been through the fire here, love your thoughts on, like, if – Auburn has its, you know, Auburn already had its big non-conference, major conference test.
On the road.
Now they get to collect some data not only about themselves, they get to watch Oklahoma tomorrow against Michigan.
Against a good opponent.
Against a good Michigan team. They get to watch A&M next week at Notre Dame.
Yes.
Which you know, you get to see A&M against, like, those two teams have to play some of their cards. They got to show something.
You're exactly
to win
right.
those games.
That's the thing. They're not going to be able to hold back and save anything for Auburn because they have such good opponents.
Well, unless one of them decided to do what Baylor did. I mean, Auburn didn't have to show their passing game last week.
No.
But I don't think that's going to be the case.
No.
I don't think Michigan's going to load up and say, "All right, we're only going to worry about stopping the pass." Although, I mean, with John Mateer, I could see them being really concerned with that.
The recruiting people would tell you that Michigan and Notre Dame are both far better than Baylor.
Oh yes,
especially at some of those positions where, you know what, a team like Michigan probably would have forced Auburn to make some compromises defensively in a way that Auburn didn't have to make those decisions. And I think Oklahoma tomorrow, I mean, if Michigan can make them one-dimensional, I mean, understandable, true freshman quarterback going to Oklahoma, for a 7 o'clock ABC game is gigantic.
Yes.
But John Mateer is playing the best defense he's ever seen, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about
John
that.
John Mateer is seeing the best. He's never seen speed like he's going to see from that Michigan front seven.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, to me, really interesting to see what – because he likes to improvise.
Right.
He's got some Baker Mayfield, some Johnny Manziel in his game. That can go great.
Or can kill you.
Coach, you've seen –
and get you killed.
He ran for 800 yards last year.
You've seen that kind of thing soar. And you've seen it go right into the side of a mountain,
yes,
too. And we'll see what happens tomorrow against Oklahoma.
It's one of those, no, good, oh, no.
yeah, I mean.
It's a roller coaster quarterback.
Yeah.
And then, as a couple of people said, it's sort of a shame that one's going on at the same time that the Auburn game is.
Yeah.
But there's some interesting games throughout.
Yeah.
But, you know.
There's some games tonight, right, Bill?
No.
College, yes. I think Louisville.
Yeah.
Well, it's James Madison or somebody. I could be wrong.
All right. Well, we will look at those games here in a little while, but right now we're very pleased to head to the Drive Hotline. Welcome in Auburn's Deputy Athletics Director for External Affairs. That's Rhett Hobart. Hey, Rhett, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
War Eagle, thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We're here. You know, everybody's really excited, looking forward to the home opener tomorrow, coming off that big win in Waco last week against Baylor. But for folks, it's not going to look the same over at Jordan-Hare Stadium and around Jordan-Hare as it did in the past.
We've got some exciting changes coming up for this weekend. It's going on for the rest of the season. So we announced earlier this week over 20 different game day enhancements surrounding Jordan-Hare, the game atmosphere, operational enhancements, and areas around the entire campus related to game day. Also, we are expecting tomorrow our 15th consecutive home sellout. We actually are now two games from the all-time record of 16 consecutive sellouts. We expect to actually break that record against Georgia here, our third home game of the season. But we're excited for the weekend. When fans come to Jordan-Hare this weekend, they're going to see a number of new things. One of the biggest being a brand-new video board on that north end zone, over 7,000 square feet of video board space. That will really make our full game day experience more well-rounded, having video boards on both ends and being able to make sure our students specifically have a great view now of the video board on that end of the stadium.
All right. First of all, Rhett, thank you so much for joining us. Riley says hi. He's listening. And I also want to ask, what happened to the old scoreboard? There, I know we've speculated on the show.
Oh, yeah. Would have been cool to have it in the backyard.
It's a little larger than you think it is. Doesn't look that big up there, but it is massive. We've actually saved the board, all pieces of it. We are working right now. It's one thing you'll notice. When you come into Jordan-Hare, you'll notice that video board is a good ways above the seating bowl. It looks a little bit out of place right now in terms of location. We've actually working on a much larger plan for the entire end zone, adding a number of new opportunities down there for seating, premium seating, different spaces down there. As we're working through that process and design right now, we are hoping and anticipating to actually reuse that scoreboard in one of the club spaces that end zone as a place that Auburn fans can go and see it lit up still in its entirety.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. I like that.
I was going to say dice it up into playing card-sized pieces and sell it to Auburn fans, but that's even better.
I like that better.
That'll be like an Instagram.
Continue it.
Oh, that's going to be a must-have sort of photo that you have when you go to Jordan-Hare Stadium, is getting it with the old scoreboard. So I think people, especially on our side of the stadium, Bill.
Oh, yeah, the ones that have been on the south end, really excited.
Very excited about the video board. What's been the reaction so far?
It's been awesome. It's been great so far. It's going to be really, really add to the game day experience overall. And as we continue to know, look, I talk to our staff about this quite often, and I know people listening would have the same perspective. It's not easy coming to a college football game nowadays, no matter where you are. You've got to deal with the traffic and the lines and the cost of attendance and all those types of things. And so we are focused heavily on trying to do all we can to make it worth our fans' time coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium on a Saturday, dealing with the traffic, dealing with the lines, and make sure we do all we can to add to that game day experience and provide something in our fans in Jordan-Hare, they can't get watching game on TV. Mm-hmm. So we are investing heavily in that. We also this weekend are unveiling a brand new lighting system in Jordan-Hare. Actually, we're the first university in the country to roll this out. It was a technology design for Premier League Soccer. We have brought it to the U.S. With a partner that will actually allow us to have laser and light technology on the field. So we'll be doing some really, really neat things with that after touchdowns are scored throughout the game in that third, fourth quarter break. Kind of bringing the field to life, per se. I saw a test run last night, and it was really impressive.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And that's one of the cool things about, this ball game being at night. You get an opportunity to go ahead and show the fans more of some of the new amenities that you have.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're excited to walk in and see it on tomorrow afternoon. We've also made a huge investment in operational efficiencies, I would say, around the stadium. We've done a large effort this offseason of expanding our gate perimeter on the east side to have more concourse space to ease traffic moving around, add more entry gates to get you in and out of the stadium more quickly. Again, so much effort right now from our staff is focused on making sure when you are at a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, you can get in and out easy and back to your seat as quick as possible.
Grab-and-go concessions, too. I know that was part of Kirk's email.
Grab-and-go concessions, yep. We invested last year over $2 million in our concessions experience. Again, understanding you come to a football game, you pay the ticket cost, you don't want to stand in line for concessions. You want to get back to your seat. So we made a huge investment last year in trying to create better and more efficient concession stands. I'll tell you one thing that's unique that nobody really knows. You know, these older college football stadiums, the infrastructure is not really there. There is actually, before last year, there was one refrigerator in the entire stadium to cool all drinks sold at all stands. There's actually not a single concessions kitchen in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So all the food and beverage that is cooked is actually cooked in the arena and the baseball stadium and driven over. So we made a huge investment as we have tried to continue to make the lines move more quickly to upgrade those things this offseason as best we can, make it where we can keep the food stocked at a higher level and get fans back to their seats more quickly. We are now almost 70% stadium-wide grab-and-go walk-through concession stands around the entire stadium.
That is great. It has been so popular in both basketball and baseball.
It's been great. And we've seen the lines move more quickly. We've seen customer satisfaction. Yep. Our scores go up. It's been a great hit.
Can I ask sort of what's on the wish list, or what's on sort of like, I mean, you mentioned, you know, they're far from over with the new video board,
the north end zone,
and what they plan to do in the north end zone sort of expansion wise. Like what sorts of things do you think could be, you know, I know you don't want to speculate too much, but on the horizon for Jordan-Hare Stadium?
There's a lot, and I would tell you again, the bulk of those goals of the future right now are designed around that north end. How do we maximize that north end of the stadium, create unbelievable experiences and expanded opportunities for new and unique seating types, new and unique premium experiences? How do we expand our concourse even further to add more food and beverage options for those at the concourse level? So we're focused intently right now on working towards just improving that entire north end, and not because it's just the north end we care about, but we have a huge opportunity there from infrastructure standpoint to really improve the entire stadium by building out kitchens in that space, by building out operational needs we have to really service and improve every aspect of the game day experience in all aspects of the stadium that right now, just with the age of the venue, we do not have the benefit of. So we are focused heavily on that north end right now. And I think you'll see some stuff here in the near future with some concepts, things we're working on with that. You'll notice when you walk in tomorrow, there's a large banner below the video board that says Future Home of Jordan-Hare Stadium Multi-Use North End Zone. I would point out the word multi-use in that we understand we use this venue 7, 8, 9 times a year. How do we make sure the venue actually can service the entire university the rest of the year? So we're looking at it from a different perspective and putting a lot of effort in that process right now.
Yeah, that's a great plan there. And talking with Rhett Hobart, Deputy AD for External Affairs at Auburn. And let's face it, I mean, the additions that were done last year to Plainsman Park are a big enhancement for this year's football as well, with the pregame opportunities, tailgating, and, the Tiger Walk viewing and so much more.
Absolutely. Hopefully, your listeners all had a chance to come and experience Plainsman Park this past baseball season. It truly was an incredible experience to be a part of that atmosphere in the game days in Plainsman Park. As we designed that project, we were really intentional in the design, understanding that that's a pretty prime location on the Auburn campus. And the building that was built down that first baseline is also incredible football game day real estate. And so for us, as we worked to design that project, we had two goals in mind. First and foremost, create the best possible game day experience for our fans, for our student athletes on baseball game days, add to our baseball program as much value as we can. But two, how do we make sure that space is designed to be also a great benefit to us on football game days and to our fans? So all three levels of that building on that first baseline have been designed to be used on football game days. The top floor of the building is called the 984 Club. If you don't know, 984 is the number of miles from Auburn to Omaha, Nebraska. The goal of our baseball program every year to end in Omaha, Nebraska. And that space for football game days is going to be the 984 Club tailgate. We actually have passes on sale for that right now, still at aubtix.com. The benefit of that space is fans who claim a membership for a game to that space can enjoy inclusive food and beverage. They can sit inside in the air conditioning. They can watch games around the country. And all the windows along Donahue Drive open to allow you to watch Tiger walk from above. Again, a part of the intentional design of that space. And then if you were on the main concourse level of the stadium on that same building, that is the open Plainsman patio space. It has a full concessions operation open up there for football game days. Lots of seating, TVs. We are actually self-producing a video board show that will be a college football red zone. So if you're sitting in that stadium in the patio space with all the TVs, you can watch the best of games around the country. You can visit the concession stand and grab drinks and food. And then if you were at ground level along Donahue Drive, we actually have 9 tailgate suites that are built in that lower concourse, providing direct frontage to Tiger Walk, shaded space with couches, tables, chairs. Those are actually still on sale, too, for future games. This weekend is already sold out. But really a unique experience to just maximize in this new world we're in, both revenue opportunities for the university and the department, but really providing as many new and unique fan experience options as we possibly can.
That Plainsman patio is going to be really cool, and I hope folks know about that and check it out tomorrow. Open to all fans. I think some folks might think, oh, you got to have you got to be in a premium tier. You got to have a platinum. No. This one's open to all fans, and it's a it's a really cool innovation you guys are doing.
Appreciate that. We think it's going to be a hit, and I'll tell you this too. If you've been to a game in any one of our venues, you know Ben's Pretzels are popular. We actually have a Ben's Pretzel stand that will be open in the baseball stadium all pregame. So you need a pretzel fix,
good,
you can grab it before
that's
kickoff
great
as well.
Yeah, and hearing folks that have gotten maybe a little spoiled over the last couple of weeks and feeling the temperatures today are going to appreciate the opportunity to be able to get inside, have a little AC view if they would like. Of the Tiger Walk. So some great things. Rhett, we really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Looking forward to seeing, what it looks like and watching. Hey, I want to see the yards to gain, the first down line, too, on the video board.
Absolutely.
Too. I mean, there's so many things to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to get things going tomorrow and see the months and months of preparation come to life in a sold-out Jordan-Hare Stadium.
You do a great job, Rhett. Really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you, War Eagle. Y'all have a great day.
Rhett Hobart joining us here on the Friday Drive as we come to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
We know some people learning that there's a Ben's Pretzels open in the baseball stadium pregame. We know some folks. That is earth-shaking news around some corners
you,
of the Auburn.
Plainsman Park, the opportunities there are great for Tiger Walk and pregame before you head into the stadium. All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here on the Friday Drive.
Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here of the Friday Drive. Beautiful Friday, but it's a little warm. We are very comfortable here inside the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Big shout out to our buddy Red Hobart for joining us in the previous segment and providing some really cool information about if you're going to Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow, what might be different about the game day experience, some of the innovations, and the big news, baseball stadium open, Plainsman patio for pregame for all fans, and the Ben's Pretzels will be open in the baseball stadium tomorrow. Go get yourself a pregame pretzel. Red Hobart announcing that on the drive.
Yep, that among quite a few things.
Breaking news
tomorrow. Again, a 6:30 kick tomorrow. Auburn and Ball State. We'll talk more about that in other ball games around the country. When we come back for hour number two, we're halfway done here on the Friday edition of The Drive, coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we are on the road, on location here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, where it's their Midtown block party going on and happy hour. Got another hour left in happy hour.
Yeah, some great stuff on the happy hour menu, including the soul roll and the war burger. And very recently, there was, in fact, a soul roll and a war burger on this table.
Yeah,
Bill.
Well, no longer.
And yeah, that's right. It's no mystery as to what happened to it, but everything they've ever let us try at the Plaza is outstanding. And we're going to see if we can maybe have Josh on later in the show, and I think we're going to have our pal from Sensegreen in the house as well in the next segment. I think the Unk.
If we can get him. He's so shy.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah.
Don't know if he'd he'll back away if you put a mic up there.
Great place, plenty of room, TVs all over the place. You can see it and watch any sport you want.
Oh, tremendous place to watch a home game or a road game.
And the festivals outside, Bill, we were almost ran over them.
So great going on. I mean, great. Perfect. Look, if you haven't been in here. Great place here at the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
And they got some drink specials still going on for another hour as part of happy hour. Wine wells, domestic cans, all kinds of cool stuff. So, yeah, we are always happy to drop on by the Plaza and take the show on the road, especially when it's festive like it is right now in the Auburn-Opelika area. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you can tell. Boy, you can just tell. People everywhere.
Traffic is ridiculous.
Yes. We got so spoiled about a month ago.
You got out-of-towners that are, I think folks are here for the game. You've also got a lot of student-related events, a lot of Greek life stuff going on this weekend. And so, yeah, it's just it's shaping up to be a busy, busy weekend. It's a hot one, but you know what?
It's football in Alabama.
And if you were there in Waco last week, you'll be bundled up in this kind of weather. Looking forward to someone made the point, Coach, that sometimes it's the slates that don't overwhelm you with the matchups that provide some of the crazier days in college football and some of the more puzzling performances. And so, yeah, curious to see who lays an egg in the SEC tomorrow.
Yeah.
One coach that can't think he's in position to do that is Lane Kiffin after.
Oh, no, they can't lose for – Kentucky somehow beat them last year.
In Oxford.
I still haven't figured that one out.
In Oxford. I can't either.
No,
Kentucky
didn't look
very good last week.
No, they didn't.
They were fortunate to win.
I would think Lane, if he gets the opportunity, is going to run it up on Mark Stoops.
That's the game, and I try not to pay too much attention to the point spreads, but I made this point on Doug's show yesterday. That's one where it would make just as much sense if that line were doubled.
Yeah.
And whenever that happens, it feels like Vegas knows something.
Yeah,
feels
I
like
guess.
Something's up. Because that line, would you bat an eye, Bill, if Ole Miss was a 17-point favorite?
No, not at all.
In Lexington, I could keep going up 20. If that number was, I mean, after the way Kentucky looked and knowing what Ole Miss can be, if that number was 17, if that number was 21, I think people would say, well, Ole Miss might be 21 points, but it's 10. I think you can get it single digits at some places. That just, that stinks like rotten eggs, right? I mean, it just feels like something, and that's one where I'm sure there's an eye-watering amount of the action on Ole Miss, right?
Like, oh, yeah, that's you would one. Sure think so.
And they're building casinos. They're not tearing them down. So yeah. I just – that one's funny. Yeah. You know what? That's just like Alabama only being 14 on Florida State last week. And we're like, you know, that's a number that you'd think. Florida State's a two-win team. Alabama's Alabama. Why is that number only 14? Florida State bettors made some money in Tallahassee. I got a weird feeling about Kentucky.
Yeah.
And those points tomorrow.
Yeah, we will see. All right, we'd love for you to join us. If you can't make it out here to the Plaza Bar and Lounge, give us a call. On the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number 334-321-1390. And let's get to it. And Brian is up first this hour. Hey, Brian.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. We know where Jay Ferg's going to be on Saturday at that Ben's Pretzels there, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I. You know what? I'm not lying. Ferg got one of my first text messages after that breaking piece of news from Rhett about the pretzels in the baseball stadium.
Yeah, he loved those things. Hey, that was a great interview with him. One thing I think they missed out on in the design of that North Stadium was I would have loved to seen them bring back the old light-up Tiger Eye somehow incorporated into that board. If you ever get to talk to that guy again, like, make that recommendation, would you?
You know, they still have the big Tiger Eyes on the side of Beard Eves. If you ever walk between the two arenas,
I didn't realize that.
They still have that big. It used to be more prominent, Bill, when Neville Arena wasn't right next to it and blocking some of it. But if you ever wonder, you ever feel nostalgic for that imagery, the walkway between your two arenas is your best shot for a photo op there. It's looking a little wear and tear on it. You know, it's not the flashiest part of campus, but no, you're right. I love being able to incorporate some of that stuff into the stadium.
Yeah, I'm telling you this though. My first thing, I've got to see tomorrow what it looks like. But now that I've got better access to Rhett, I want to see if from our seats, my family's seats, if we can actually see the North scoreboard because it's set up so high. Our seats. Now look, I'm not complaining. We've had seats for years that are under the edge of the west upper deck, which keeps you out of the weather, keeps you out of rain. But because of that, we could only see about the bottom third of the south end zone scoreboard. I've got a feeling since the north one sits up so high, we're not going to be able to see that. So if we can't see either one, then my suggestion, and I've sent this every year when they send out questionnaires to season ticket holders and contributors, because we are that, as well as me being a member of the media. I mean, we pay TUF and FC tickets.
Yeah, what's your suggestion?
There are monitors. There are TV monitors on the underside of the upper deck, but they don't generally monitor what's on the scoreboard. So there will be lots of times where in those seats, which ain't cheap.
You want a video.
No idea what's being shown and why people are cheering for something that's going on one of the big scoreboards.
You want sort of a video board simulcast.
Yeah,
on those,
if you can't see the video board, now, you need to know what they're talking about.
Now, if this was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, Bill, you would complain to Rhett about not being able to see the video boards on either side, and they would get rid of those seats. They would, let's eliminate those seats
and not offer them anymore.
Man, I don't think they want to do that.
You've got to have the better pull, Bill, than that. I mean, come on.
I'll try.
I'll hang up and let you go. I got one quick question for Coach. I'll hang up and let you guys go. Have a great weekend, Coach. What was your thought on the defense last week? And what was your opinion? And what do you see that needs to be fixed? And you all have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Very impressed with the defensive front. I'm a big component of stop the run the ball. I thought we did a nice job of that. Like everyone, a little concerned about the middle of the field on pass, which will improve. Bill and Dan were talking. We lost a lot of people in there that were our quarterbacks last year, our linebackers, our safeties. They'll get that corrected. I was impressed with our corner play. I think we got some really good tall corners. Overall, I was very pleased. It's hard to win on the road against a good opponent. Very hot day. Just to improve our tackling. Everybody, you know, and that's the first game. That's going to happen. But overall, I'm very impressed with our defense.
Appreciate the call, Brian. 334-321-1390. Back to the drive hotline. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. Hey, Dan. Appreciate you bringing that up earlier. My concern, and this is my concern. Okay, I understand resting players or playing backup players. I get that kind of concept. But we just played a game where, in my opinion, the defense was not good. I agree with Coach that our defensive line was great, but I think our whole coverage and linebacker play, the angles were all bad, the lineups were all bad, not lining up correctly. There's a lot to clean up on defense. And on offense, we did what it took to win, but there was a lot of questions coming in, like, you know, whether or not, you know, he was going to be the quarterback, or, you know, whether he was doing good. I do not feel like our offense is a well-oiled offense. We did one part of it, and we did one part really well. But I just don't see the logic in going in, playing a quarter, scoring a couple touchdowns, and then just cruising on into the two hardest games of the year, or two of them, three of them in a row, pretty much. I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to practice and get good at offense and good at defense. And I understand, you know, if it was, you know, the middle of the season after we played some hard, good games and our team is rolling on both sides, I could totally understand. But I just do not feel like we are a well-oiled machine right now. So I don't know why you would want to just play all the backups. That to me. Now, if you're going to play a backup, I want to play the backup quarterback. If it's not Deuce Knight, then fine. But play a guy who may get thrown into action in the Texas A&M game if Jackson gets hurt for a series, you know, and he doesn't go, the next guy doesn't go out and just could do a three and out. It just seems like last year we put all of our eggs in one quarterback, and then the first game we went out and scored a bunch of points in the first quarter, first half, and then we put all the backups in, and then we go and then we lose to Cal. You know, I mean, to me, it just, we are not a well-oiled machine right now. So to the fact that, you know, we're talking about, you know, just getting to the next game, you know, next week we can rest. Next week we can play backups. But I think we need to get our offense and defense running on all five cylinders, you know, six cylinders, whatever. I just feel like we're not there yet. Now, you know, if we had thrown all over them and threw for 300 yards and threw for and ran for 300 yards, I would feel a little different. But I don't feel that we're there yet, you know. And, you know, you win both of these two road games, and the whole season is completely different. We're looking at playoffs. I mean, but, you know, that's my only fear is I trust Jackson could be good, but what is wrong with letting him?
But hold on, Pat. I'm now going to say, using that thinking though, wouldn't you want Jackson to stay in the game and get reps throwing the football? Like, isn't the argument there? This, you know, that there's value in keeping your starters in later than you normally would in order to get them reps because there's
I mean, my thinking is if you're doing what you want, you still go through the first half and probably the first series of the third quarter, and that's when you pull them. And if you do that, that's plenty, I would think, for your starters. If you go through the entire first half and the first series of the third quarter, you do that, and you've got 35, 42 points, I don't think you need to do any more.
The part that you seem to reject, respectfully, Pat, is that I do think there is some risk in, if you have a starter up multiple scores in the second half of this game and he suffers a season-ending injury, it was what you were gaining from having him in the game, was it worth the exposure that ultimately cost him, you know, helping you in important games down the road? I think that's the thinking that leads to a lot of coaches trying to, I mean, on top of wanting the backups and the young players to get reps, I think that's the thinking that gets a lot of coaches. Coach, I'll kick to you on that. I think that's the thinking that gets a lot of coaches pulled out of the, you know, it gets them thinking you got to get your starters out of these games as early as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean,
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think my question is who did we really play last week? I mean, we played our starters, our wide receivers some. They really didn't get any pass routes. They really didn't do much. Our cornerbacks weren't tackling right. I guess my fear is, you know, we just kind of cruise on through this week, cruise on through next week.
You played 12 guys in the secondary. You played 28 guys on defense. They didn't play that well back there, but you played a bunch of guys.
Yeah, but it seemed like we should narrow it down to the guys who really need to be playing and let them play a game and do good. And then if we get all of our stuff together and we're rolling on offense and defense, then next week you go out there, you get up, you get a good lead, and then you do what you're saying. I just feel like we're not there yet. I feel like we're like, oh, okay, we won our game on the road. Okay, so now we're just gonna cruise on into the Texas A&M,
well,
to the Oklahoma
game. I don't think you've heard Hugh Freeze say
that.
I mean, here's the thing. I think it's been us, the media, fans, everybody speculating about here's what they want to see for the next couple of weeks. I don't think we've heard Hugh Freeze say that we want to, you know, either cruise
that's
or
right.
sit everybody. I think they want to find out what they can do, too. I think they want to throw it. They want to see the receivers. They want to see these guys do better. But the point is, you'd like to see them do better and get that done in time enough then to play some other guys.
Sure, I understand what you're saying. I'd like to see us do it great for a game, and then rest of next week or do that next week. But you know, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying playing.
Pat wants to see us cover the number. Pat wants to see us cover the 42.5.
I think Auburn can with still doing that, playing a bunch of kids.
But that's not. I want Auburn to be good enough to beat Oklahoma. That's what I want, and I don't know that just cruising through a half here and cruising through a half there and just going on in there thinking we're just going to go. And I'm not saying that we can't beat Oklahoma already. I just don't. Well, what I saw last week, it's not going to work, I don't think, against Oklahoma. So I need to see us be better before we just, you know, pull the plug and
I'll feel more comfortable.
That's all I'm saying.
What you just said, Pat, and I do think Oklahoma probably, the personnel people would tell you they're better than Baylor.
Their defense is better than Baylor's, for sure.
You know, for sure. I want to see what Oklahoma looks like tomorrow against a real team in Norman before I start, making sort of any proclamations about Auburn, Oklahoma, because that's an Oklahoma team that's got as many questions as Auburn does, and they've got a big test tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Pat. All right. We need
different schools of thought there about how to approach a game like this.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hard.
It would be tough, I think, if you're up 42-0, 42-3 or something early in the third quarter to not think about going to some of your younger guys.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean,
you have to.
You could probably beat this Ball State team 84 to whatever.
Yeah.
But are you really that really going to help you? I mean, I guess Pat's saying he wants as many reps as possible for all the guys that he thinks need to beat Oklahoma, and I can understand that. But then I think you and coaches, Don, will feel like we need reps for the other guys because you don't know who may be available and you don't know who else you may need. So if you're getting what you want out of the first guys, then you want to see if you can get that out of the second and third guys.
Yes.
All right.
Every rep's a dice roll too, Coach.
Right, that's right.
Things can happen.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390.
I think the Unc is going to pop on by and do a segment with us, talk a little Sensegreen.
Sounds good to me. All right, so we'll do that when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive.
Into the Friday edition of The Drive, Bill and Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here Midtown, and again, we're here courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen, and we've got I feel like Doug when Doug was talking to you, Will. It's like, who are you right now? I mean, he's not schizophrenic, but he's got quite a few different
are we talking
personas that go with our good friend Wade Bennett, T-Bone, Uncle T-Bone, the realist. I go back. Doug talks about this. Obviously, go all the way back to the realist days.
Yeah. Are we talking to Garth Brooks or Chris Gaines right now? How does this work?
I tell you, we're talking to
Wade Bennett from Sense of Green for air that's cool and clean. Please call Sense of Green. We'll take care of you. I promise that. But
you're in Bruce Wayne mode right now.
Yeah, exactly. But Bill, we got to talk about the fact that when I was a junior or senior in high school, back in like 89, 90, 91, I put the antenna in the to listen to you I think it was 99.9 out of Tallahassee. That's how far back I go.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of radio personalities.
Power 99,
going back a
that's
long
right.
time.
Doing the afternoons
on Power
99. I don't
know if you took calls back then.
Is that one of the first sports talk radio shows ever?
No. That was actually.
I think it was.
That was after I came from Montgomery when Jim and I were doing the show and started it up. Started it up on what is now WANI when it was JHO. And then
that show was actually on you and Jim from Montgomery in Auburn, Opelika.
It got carried on AUD.
No kidding.
Yeah, it got carried there on AUD. And then
about that?
And then I was just here and not driving back and forth and got started doing it in Opelika and then was driving to Tallahassee every afternoon. Yeah.
I say the point of that story for me is that
me
too, and I'm so old school that I listen and at this point I have different names over different call-ins because I loved
decades.
It so much.
It's like
right?
eras of Wade on the radio.
It's
like Madonna.
That's right.
It's different eras of Wade, but different bills on different shows. So, I mean, I've been around. You're right. And couldn't be happier to be around, man. It's been a heck of a ride.
Following Auburn football is like a wild roller coaster ride.
It's always interesting.
And we've gone off the tracks a couple of times.
Very much so, but I don't think they went off the tracks last Friday.
No, not at all.
And for someone who will go off the tracks with Auburn football as a fanatic, which is short for fan, Dan, no pun intended on that rhyme, I am just saying what I saw last Friday was fantastic. I couldn't be more thrilled. I'm fine.
Competent quarterback play for the first time in a while. And how about this?
The areas of concern aren't areas of concern to me. I mean, I feel like the talent is really there defensively. I also think Sawyer Roberts is a pretty darn good quarterback, and they've
absolutely
got a Trigg. Trigg is a really tough match.
No, I was going to say like it's the first time in a while you felt like the offense was ahead of the defense. Right, I mean, after one game at least, it's like, when was the last time you had that feeling about? I mean, maybe Bo Nix at some point, later in his tenure, you felt like maybe the offense. And that's not to say the defense is going to stay a step behind or even with.
The expectations were the defense is going to be better.
But I think the reason and yes, exactly. I think early on, you'd have thought if one unit was going to be ahead of the other one after the Baylor game, you might have thought, okay, the Auburn defense because of who they bring back. Especially up front, they're going to be the unit ahead. To see the offense operating like that early, I mean, that's a really promising start to the 2025 season for this team. And I agree. I think the defense is eventually going to come around.
I'm not even 100% concerned about the defense.
Yeah.
I think we'll be fine. I think that Auburn's in a really good spot. I think there's a tremendous amount of talent there. I think what I saw more than anything on Friday was a coach who said, okay, finally, you're going to give me this run game. I'm going to shove it down your throat. Yep. And there was no stopping it. And I'm not so certain that defensively some things that happened, I saw plenty of pressure from the defensive line. And that's a really good offense. It may be one of the better offenses we see all year, guys.
I don't think Jackson – I think Jackson matters in this too. Because I think if Hugh Freeze had wanted to run the ball like this with the quarterback his first 2 years, it may not have worked as well as it did on Friday night. And I think the word that comes to mind is identity. Right, like that's something that it feels like the Auburn offense maybe has under Hugh Freeze, something they know they can do well. That's something they were sort of grappling with the last couple of seasons. That's before you really see the full effects of Jackson and these receivers throwing the football.
Schematically, I think the run game that the quarterback had this past Friday, Jackson Arnold, was a little bit different than what could Peyton Thorne do, right?
Right.
And it's like he was more of this traditional RPO guy, but at any moment, Jackson Arnold can just tuck that ball and run up the middle with power. And
you didn't just see it.
And
Friday.
I don't think Peyton Thorne could run with power. And when Auburn running quarterbacks, excuse me, over the last couple of years have run with power, last couple of years, I mean, going back to Cam Newton, when that RPO started, you've got someone in the middle of the field almost being a fullback slash quarterback that's opening up the field. That's another thing defenses have to take care of or at least be cognizant of.
I think defense is going to have a spy for Jackson. They didn't have to.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, so that takes defender away.
Yep. That's a way better. Thank you, Bill. You put it way better than I could. But there was something different about Jackson Arnold running the ball than Peyton Thorne. And Peyton Thorne had wheels.
Oh, he did?
And I think his first year they utilized that more. Last year they got away from it. This is more of a little bit of a Bo Nix, who actually got on the outside too, but this is a little different too. Jackson's got something.
I made this point earlier in the week. Jeremy Johnson could run, but it didn't look like when Nick Marshall was running. Like
right.
it's different, and I think that's what like some of it's fit, some of it's that sort of the magic, the X factor, the it factor that quarterbacks need to have awareness, and I think that's where Jackson's got something that you haven't seen since Bo Nix left at the quarterback position, and that includes Peyton who and look, Peyton Thorne won 10 games at Michigan State one season, like he showed he could be in the right offense, but when it's not his thing. And now you're seeing a quarterback where this is what he wants to do with his offense, and it feels like it gives the offense a real identity.
3 years now with Coach Freeze, a lot of people have been scouting him. I felt like we self-scouted. We found something. Okay, y'all think these are our tendencies. We're going to change them. Now there's a whole different thing to think about, and all these defenses are going to be thinking about it. And when they kind of try and come up, you got Cam Coleman. You got Perry Thompson. You got Eric Singleton. Man, these receivers are going to feast soon, and you're going to see it over the next couple of games. And now there's a whole lot of stuff to think about for defense coordinators that we weren't quite there the last 2 years.
Oh, I agree with you 100% there. I mean, and I know what I feel from a lot of Auburn fans. It's like they're just dying to see those receivers. I mean, you're going to. But I love it that we're not forcing it. I mean, they're going to get the opportunities. They're going to have to. When they're single covered, you're going to see it.
I think those receivers are really cool right now, and they know. I think everyone's kind of bought into this team. And don't worry about what Auburn fans are worrying about. I think those players know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And when Auburn explodes here shortly, and they are going to, it's going to be either on Oklahoma and Texas, and I think it's going to be Oklahoma. The college football world is going to be like, whoa, baby.
Yep.
Because, Sawyer Robinson and Baylor is a fantastic football team. And I think that John Mateer and Oklahoma is a fantastic football team. But I think they're a lot alike. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not seeing the talent at Oklahoma that there was years ago.
Oh, no.
To me, that is a mid-level SEC team, a lot like Baylor. And if Auburn goes out there and executes, they're going to shock some people.
We're here courtesy of the good folks at Sensegreen. Wade, talk a little bit about, Sensegreen. I heard you talking about Dollar Days.
Yeah, Dollar Days are here again, folks. We have so many discounts right now for air that's cool and clean. Please call Sensegreen. $1,500. Would you like to save $1,500?
Yeah, no
kidding. Call us right now. We'll give that right off an HVAC installation for you. It's an Indian summer again, unfortunately. False fall was last week. We know it's going to be hot. If that system's struggling, give us a call. Definitely call us. We have discounts on repairs, on insulation as well. For air that's cool and clean, please call Sensegreen.
Man, great stuff. It's always great. Always great to spend a little time with you, man, regardless of whatever we're calling you. We called you a lot worse, though.
We'll be the first people.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, we've still got about 20 minutes to go. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Friday Drive from the Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Coach Don Dunn is somewhere around here. There he is.
He's leading a conga line.
Yeah, well, he may be here in a couple of minutes. You never know. As we come to you from the Plaza Bar and Lounge here in Midtown.
And we are thrilled to have one of our pals from the Plaza here to talk a little bit about what's going on. We just had Wade, taking off the mask and talking about some sense of
green. Yeah, of course, when we're talking with him, we don't know what to call him. I mean, we'll call Josh Josh, I guess, as far as I know.
We'll call Josh Josh, but Josh is Josh has an incredible place here at the Plaza, and we're thrilled to that you're having us in your house.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, some better nicknames than you have for Wade as well too. That would be great. So,
well, he came up with himself, so yeah. It's his fault. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, you've got understand you're doing the block parties every Friday.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. We did it home games. Previous years past, and you know, we've got a great community here in Midtown, and they said, you know what, do it every Friday, why not? So all through the fall, we're gonna have the square blocked off, cornhole games, live music, I mean, food, drink specials, and we've got about 20 locally owned and operated businesses in the area here that are absolutely great, and you know, just happy to bring more people over here to Midtown.
And sort of like the hidden gem here of between Auburn and Opelika.
Yeah, trying our best to not be so hidden as much anymore. But it's a great spot. You know, we love being here, a part of this little community inside of Auburn, and it's just, you know, continues to get better and better each and every year. So we're happy and very happy to have y'all here.
Oh, and fantastic stuff you guys got going on all week long. We've been talking about happy hour. A great spot to wind down after work. Also, I mean, like you said, With a game day weekend, you know, if you're looking for a spot where you can enjoy indoors, outdoors, and some games on TV,
absolutely,
the Plaza is one of the best spots.
Yeah, we got a lot of TVs around. Something we're introducing this year: NFL Sunday Ticket.
Hey, cool.
So any NFL game, any fans out there that don't have the access to your team, come over here. We'll put it on for you. So bingo on Wednesdays, trivia on Thursdays, dollar wings Monday and Thursday nights for some football games going on there, and just really
can't,
excited.
Can't say enough about the food that they've let us try at the Plaza.
Oh
too.
Yeah, I mean,
there was at some point in hour number one, very briefly, there was a Warburger and a soul roll on this table, and they vanished quickly. The soul roll is tough. I mean, I've described it to people because it's got the smoky and the creamy. It's like jalapeno popper adjacent as far as the inside, but it's got that, I mean, just tremendous texture and tremendous flavor in every bite.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoy that. Oh. We call it a Southern egg roll, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, we recently as well, too, and thanks to one of our customers for this, we started smoking our own pork butts in-house as well. So house-smoked pork, collard greens, cream cheese, all wrapped up in a crispy egg roll. It's been on the menu since day one. We've tweaked it a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Comes with that mustard barbecue sauce, dipping sauce comes with it, and it's a fan favorite, man. A lot of our regulars come here for that, and we're real happy with our food menu. So
Brunch menu as well.
Absolutely.
You got brunch on the weekends, which with folks in town for game day.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we do brunch. Small options, but still going to hit those cravings for that time of day whenever you come in here and you're getting ready to, you know, experience a ball game like we got this weekend, or, you know, just looking for a place to go for brunch.
Josh, a busy guy, because you got the Waverly Local as well. I mean, talk about what's going on there.
Yeah, so Waverly Local, it's been around for 8 years now, and we're doing great out there. We just recently opened a little side project in Waverly called Waverly Proper. It's an event space. We kept getting asked for a space to do private events.
Right.
And,
And
there was a local spot out there that still has the same odors from back early in the 1930s.
Wow.
It was the Waverly General Store. And the owner, who now is the granddaughter of the gentleman who had that general store, she came to us and just said, I want people to gather here again. And, you know, we said, well, we'll put some people in there. Yeah, so that's a really, really fun project that we got going on out in Waverly, and excited every Friday, Saturday night, pending game times on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that open. Wine cocktail bar, small bites. You can come out there and experience that.
How would folks, if they wanted to get in touch with you about holding an event or doing something there, how do they get in touch?
We've got an events email specifically for that spot set up. It's events@thewaverlylocal.com.
Simple enough.
Yeah, very
and that,
easy.
No, and that area is so cool. And convenient for folks. Auburn, Lake Martin adjacent as well. Like, no, that's a fantastic idea. And yeah, hopefully folks take you up on events out there, because the local itself is already tremendous. And that, now you got a spot to entertain.
Yeah, well,
out there as well.
Waverly is just, man, it's I've been a partner now for 4 years, and it's so nice to see. It's a little bit of an escape from Auburn, if you
right.
will, or, you know, go have a little date night or take your family out. You want to get outside of the city or the norm, if you will, for a little bit. We're real excited with what's going on out there. And we get Lake folks come down from Birmingham.
Yeah.
They're visiting Lake Martin for the summer. They come check us out as well, too. So it's a little sweet spot. I don't know if I'd call it a hidden gem or not, because we're definitely pretty busy.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
But we have a good time just serving this community here, man. I love what I do. We've got fantastic teams at all of our locations that work hard and are ready for what's coming this football season. Very happy we don't have 5 home games in a row again. I can't say enough about them. They do such a great job in keeping these businesses running, putting our guests first, and just providing the best experience possible that we can.
Yeah, y'all do a great job.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate the opportunity to be out here.
Absolutely. Very happy to have y'all. And just a quick shout-out. I got to thank Cincy Green as well.
Oh, absolutely.
For air that's cool and clean.
Call Cincy Green.
That's right.
Our pals at Cincy Green are great. Josh, one more thing.
Yep.
I mean, Auburn's about to have its first home game of the year. You got several more coming up the next couple of weeks. If folks wanted to talk to you about maybe your kitchens handling some of their tailgate business,
yeah,
is that something you guys are doing as well?
Sure. I mean, we actually just had somebody walk in a little bit ago and order a food for their tailgate tomorrow.
I mean,
so info@auburnplaza.com would
right.
be the email for that.
I think bringing a tray of soul rolls to a tailgate.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. That'd be a hit.
I think so.
No question.
I mean, give us enough heads up, and I'll bring the whole setup out there. We'll fry them on site, flip some burgers, whatever you want, man. Let's do it.
Awesome.
That's great. Thanks again, Josh, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to get through. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Friday Drive from the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge.
Big and Rich, live in LaGrange, Georgia. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don, our thanks to the great folks here. Josh here at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Wade, of course, with Sensa Green, making it possible for us to be out here on location here on this Friday.
And shout out to Rhett in hour number one. Rhett Hobart from Game Day Operations.
Yeah.
Joining us to talk about all the new stuff at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
It's amazing.
This weekend, it's just going to be, it's
festive.
It's the kind of weekend you yearn for in, like, early June, right? When you think about all the stuff that's going to be going on this weekend and a football game tomorrow night to cap it off.
Well, now, especially now that you beat Baylor and you beat them pretty soundly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd lost last week, it'd be, well, it's the home opener. But what have you got, you know, what can you prove?
I think we would
now
have,
it's like, all right, we proved stuff. Now let's go out and work on it. Let's see what else we can do.
The last 5 shows might have been pretty different.
Oh, you think?
If Baylor had won that football game. And I really want to see Baylor and SMU tomorrow morning, too. I
hope Baylor beats him by 60.
I'll tell you what, and don't you feel better about what you saw from Auburn?
If Baylor does.
If Baylor goes out there and stomps a playoff team.
I hope they win
the
rest of them.
You got two playoff teams, SMU and Arizona State. playing very interesting games tomorrow. Yep. And won't you feel better about
In Starkville.
Yeah.
Do you see
how about that?
The guy complaining about somewhere to stay or something, their coach. What a nut. He don't know.
Look, I mean, Kenny spent a little bit of time.
Dillingham was here at Auburn for, I guess it was just 1 year.
He knows a little bit. You're right. But, I mean, that's a different planet.
Cowbells.
Right?
And more cowbell.
Can you imagine for some of those players that aren't too familiar with the South?
And you got to – they'll stay in Columbus.
But what tomorrow on the field – is, I mean, especially if State gets rolling early.
Hear those bells. Ring them bells.
You're going to think you're in a different world. And I'd love to see State play a close game with Arizona State tomorrow.
Yeah.
State's not that's only about a 3-point line, isn't it?
I think it's a little bigger than that. But it's still
– it's less than a touchdown.
I think SMU's about a 3-point line.
Oh, that's right. I think
Arizona State's a little bit bigger, but still manageable. It's still a game that people think –
for a team that was in the playoff last year and looked like they could beat Texas.
A game that could very well be a one-possession game in the second half.
All right. Don, just love your thoughts quickly. I mean, it was David Pascal yesterday was saying – you know, Arkansas better not mess around against Arkansas State.
No, that's an in-state rivalry, and you know, there's some doubt and some questions about Arkansas.
Yep.
I think Arkansas will win and should win, but you never know.
Butch Jones knows how to get a team ready.
Yeah, he's been in it.
He's been in it, and he knows how to get a team ready for the SEC.
I think, is it in Little Rock?
Yes.
Another thing.
Yep.
And they got to travel, too. I wouldn't like that. I mean, I know they have to because of the state and some kind of deal, but that's tough. You know, that's like us playing the Iron Bowl in Birmingham.
Yeah, and then you've got a South Florida team that last week just destroyed Boise, going to Gainesville to take on a Florida team that's got LSU and Miami on the road the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be different. You know, those in-state rivalries, and that's not a bad team either, like you said, Bill. And Boise State, I think, is a good football team, but they just dismantled them the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, and Florida didn't look overly impressive. You don't want to overreact to Long Island.
No, I didn't know.
My buddy got hired as the women's basketball coach there, so I know a little bit.
So you knew about it.
I know a little bit about the Sharks.
Yeah.
But it's they're not necessarily a football powerhouse.
No, I haven't seen them.
Florida's got LSU next week.
Woo.
You can't overlook South Florida.
This could be that sort of trap game.
How about South Florida, LSU, Miami the next 3 weeks if you're the Florida Gators? I mean,
they didn't do him any favors.
And then they get a break before they have Texas at Texas A&M the next two games.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a brutal schedule.
They're good enough to win any of them.
Or lose them all.
But it could go sideways very quickly.
Yeah. Tough schedule. Tough.
All right. Kentucky, we talked about this a little earlier. Kentucky beat Ole Miss last year in Oxford.
I'm like you, Bill. I don't know how that happened. I know it was a late field goal or something. But anyway, I just don't see Kentucky beating Ole Miss tomorrow.
I don't see Kentucky being competitive against them.
You got to be like that guy who got struck by lightning, right? It's not going to happen again. There's no way it's going to happen again.
If that happens to Lane again, that would be hilarious.
Oh, no. I mean, they're in position to win, and you keep in mind, too, Lane Kiffin's having one of the better 4 or 5 year runs in the history of Ole Miss football.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't capped it off with a championship or something. They've got a chance to win a lot of their games this year. They can't let Kentucky's slip away. They can't waste those opportunities, or it's going to be it's going to be another close but no cigar situation when it comes to putting Ole Miss over the top. I mean, what can he do now except win the SEC or make the college football playoff?
Another 8-4,
9-3 year is it's par for the course for him.
It is.
Right.
I wonder how much pressure there is to be that much better, though, there.
I think there's pressure not to lose to Kentucky.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Like, if you're going 10-2, 9-3, losing to Georgia and LSU and Alabama and Texas, it's one thing. But when it's Kentucky and
at home last year.
Yeah, when those are the games keeping you out, that's disastrous. Yeah.
And then we talked Missouri-Kansas.
Wow.
I mean, Missouri, the second of six straight home weeks.
Right.
And Kansas, folks may not realize this, This is a rivalry.
They hate each other.
They absolutely hate each other.
They fought a war.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
This thing goes back a long way.
Yeah, I talked to Andy Lutz. You remember Andy?
Yeah.
He's on the staff there. He said he didn't really know what they had yet, you know.
Yeah, I think that's got to be true.
And he would have told me, you know, but I know Kansas is better. That guy's done a great job there.
Leopold, yeah.
But they're home, so I got to go with Missouri.
Yeah, I would think, but I'm really interested in that one. And then, of course, we've talked a good bit about the Michigan-Oklahoma game. I mean, Auburn will find out a lot about Oklahoma. Oklahoma will find out a lot about themselves.
Right, and it'll be great film to watch and to study and to break down playing a good team like Michigan. But it is in Norman, so I give the edge to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think this one's close late, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
If one of these teams stomps the other.
What time's the game?
It's a night game.
That's a night game.
That's during Auburn's game.
Oh.
That's ABC during Auburn's game.
Split screen.
That is if one of those teams stomps the other one, it changes what we think about maybe both of those teams.
Yeah.
And then of course, Auburn, I think Auburn needs to be clean,
right.
Come out of it healthy.
Right.
That's the main thing you
go
want.
Go about their business. Like you said, Bill, first and second half, full speed, and hopefully we can get some other guys in second half.
Don,
thank you.
Really appreciate you being out here with us.
Thank you.
Again, our thanks to the Plaza Bar and Lounge, Sensa Green, for making it possible for us to be out here. Don't forget, game day on Wings tomorrow, preceding Auburn Network coverage over on Wings 94.3 Monday. We're on the road again, back at Franklin Tire. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.